You know, I've been complaining about how politicians have kind of normalized the pandemic era right now. They don't seem too flummoxed by the record debt and deficit. I mean, they complained about it the day it came out. Well, the liberals loved it, but the opposition, you know. And just the fact that our lives are being micromanaged and so forth. I mean, Jason Kenney speaks out about that component, but every other province seems okay with it, frustratingly, particularly here in Ontario. Good grief. But one thing I will confess that I have normalized is gas under $1 a liter. And it's kind of funny in your personal habits. I get indignant. You know, I'm driving and I'm like, you know, at a quarter tank or whatnot. So I need to think about filling up pretty soon. And I'll be going and I'll be like 102. And I'll be like, huh, and I'll get in a huff. I'm like, 102, what are you thinking? This is highway robbery. I'm not doing this. I'm continuing down the street. It's like fury. You remember paying like 140 not too long ago in Toronto. Like, come on. And the natural resting place was like 120 and so forth. But because I've had the experience this year of dipping below 80, I think I filled up at like 78 or something. I believe it's, where's the lowest? Like, I saw in Edmonton, maybe they had gotten below 60. It had been like 58 cents or something like that for a brief moment in time. And you're just like, you know, I got to stop being so, I don't know, whatever it is, demanding my cheap gas, because it means a whole lot of things. It's not all that great for the economy if your gas is super, super low. That tells you what's going on, that people just aren't doing stuff. And back in April, they weren't doing stuff. Well, we're getting back up to it, which is why sometimes I do fill up at 99 or 98, but I'm filling up at, you know, 104 and so forth here and there. And you think about the big picture, and that also means your friends and family in Alberta and oil and gas sector, that ain't doing so well. But in new reports out from the Canadian Energy Center, well, it's not just about Alberta. You know, they called it the Canadian Energy Center. It's not called the Alberta Energy Center because, well, new numbers they've done, new research tells us, look, stuff going on in the oil and gas sector, it ain't just about Alberta. There are real tangible benefits, ones that have been quantified now to places like, oh, I don't know, Ontario. Let's talk about a new report that really breaks it all down, tells us what exactly is going on there on that front. Pleased to welcome Mark Milkey back to the program. Mark's a political scientist, a policy analyst doing some work with the Canadian Energy Center. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Anthony. And if you're paying 99 or $1.02, you're cheaper than Calgary. It's about $1.05 or $1.09 when I filled up the other day.
Oh, is it? Interestingly. Now, yeah. I have one of those discount stations near my house. So that's usually the one I look for getting me low. That was just, I don't know, the other day, 99. But yeah, $1.04, we're seeing that here a lot as well. So there you go. Another connection between Alberta and Ontario. You're running the numbers, sir. You got a report out of the impact of oil and gas and Alberta on Ontario's economy. What is that impact?
Well, it's pretty dramatic, I would think. Let's start with the jobs figure, for example. The number of jobs in Ontario that result from oil and gas spending amount to over 68,000. Now, that's direct and indirect jobs included. So direct jobs would be, for example, a Calgary energy company buying steel from a company in Ontario and creating jobs in that plant. Indirect jobs would be if that plant buys office furniture in the manufacturing sector in Ontario and therefore creates jobs because of all the furniture that particular plant buys from an Ontario manufacturer. So, but the impact, that's one way to measure the impact. What are the jobs in Ontario that result from oil and gas spending? There are other ways to look at the impact. I mean, you can break it down by, all right, you know, oil and gas spending on manufacturing, the impact of Alberta writ large on Ontario's economy. So, for example, Alberta is about 11.5% of the national population. But its share of the manufacturing sector, purchases from the manufacturing sector in Ontario, so consumers in Alberta, businesses, governments that buy from manufacturing in Ontario, amounts to just under 22% of what Ontario does in manufacturing. And it's even larger when you look at interprovincial trade. Alberta's share of Ontario's, again, you know, goods and services is the best way to put it. What people in Alberta buy from Ontario, Albertans are responsible for 24% of the purchases in Ontario, again, compared to what? 11% of the population of the country. So that's another way to look at the impact of oil and gas, and then more broadly, Alberta on Ontario's economy, and it's pretty significant.
Well, how should folks in Ontario stop and think about these numbers? Because, you know, we're here sipping our lattes, complaining about our gas prices, and, you know, there is a lot of animosity towards, sometimes, towards Albertans in downtown Toronto, in the GTA. I am not at all one of those people who, of course, has that perspective, as you know, Mark, but there's a lot of people who I guess, need to look up at their lattes and look more towards these figures. How should they contextualize it?
Sure. Well, one way to contextualize it is to remember that all of us are like that, though. I mean, I would say that, Anthony, that wherever you are, you tend to look at the local economy and what's happening, right? Tip O'Neill, the former late House of the Speaker of the House of Representatives, 1980s-era Speaker of the House of Representatives in the United States, once famously said, all politics is local. And I think economies are like that as well. People kind of look around and to their local economy and say, this is what matters. And of course, that's natural because you have a job locally, you pay your bills locally. But the fact is, interprovincial trade and international trade is what drives economies and allows all of us to get jobs and frankly, bigger paychecks than we otherwise would. So the same thing here. I think how Ontarians should look at this is consider again the 68,000 jobs, direct and indirect, in Ontario that come from oil and gas spending. Last time I checked, that figure would be larger than direct jobs, for example, in the automotive sector in Ontario. The three major companies, GM, Ford, Chrysler, for example, add Toyota in there as well, at least on direct jobs. So that's one way to conceptualize this. There's another way to look at it, which is even downtown Toronto, for example, if you look at what Alberta's impact on selected industries, there's over $7 billion, almost $8 billion worth of finance and insurance bought from Ontario. A lot of that occurs in downtown Toronto in the office towers. So almost $8 billion of finance and insurance services are bought by Albertans from Ontario. And in fact, Albertans compose 30% of that Ontario sector, finance and insurance. And I can go through the list. Same with manufacturing again. Almost 22% of the manufacturing sector in Ontario results from Albertans spending money in Ontario. Wholesale trade, the same thing, 22%. So you can kind of go through the list. And Ontario's economy would be dramatically smaller by double-digit percentages, some of these sectors, if you didn't have Alberta in the equation.
Interesting stuff, you know, things we really have to open up our eyes to here. I saw some polling we discussed on the program earlier with the Montreal Economic Institute a couple weeks ago showing that Quebecers themselves as individuals are actually kind of okay with oil and gas and something resembling Energy East and domestic production, particularly in the way you ask the question. It seems the leadership hasn't figured that out yet. Some bizarre biases. Mark, I know you've been making these arguments, pointing out these facts for years, but isn't the 101 still accurate that, well, if you're not crazy about Saudi Arabia being on the UN Human Rights Council, so why are you also crazy about, you know, giving them money with, you know, their oil flowing around more? Whatever you think of the U.S., I mean, they're doing energy independence. We could work more towards energy independence. Lots of problems. Russia has that Nord Stream 2 thing, or not Nord Stream, that's the store, but, you know,
right.
Gazprom 2, whatever it's called,
Nord
and so 2, forth.
Nord 2, I think you mean, yeah.
Nord 2, yeah, that's what I mean there. You know, there's just a lot of stuff going on in the world. Venezuela, man, that's a shady country if ever there was one. I mean, just... you know, have our domestic production, regulate it. You know, when the NEB approves things, they don't actually approve, they conditionally approve with like 200 conditions. I mean, good grief. I don't know how else to have this conversation with people.
Well, I think that seems to resonate with Central and Central Canadians, the notion of foreign oil. I mean, I think foreign oil is a tricky one. We did do actually a fact sheet. If your listeners go to the Canadian Energy Center, you'll find a lot of our fact sheets, including one we did on foreign oil a couple of weeks ago, where we showed, for example, that, yes, Quebec imported $225 billion over the last 30 years of foreign oil, but the country as a whole imported over $450 billion worth of foreign oil over the last 30 years. Now, part of that is understandable. I mean, you know, some refineries are set up for light crude from Saudi Arabia, not heavy oil from Western Canada. Part of it is shipping costs. I mean, there are a number of factors into why we import foreign oil, even ironically from the United States these days. But I would say one thing governments can do on that, for sure, is not make it difficult for Canadian oil and gas to develop in the country. Obviously, part of this is, you know, connected with environmental issues. And again, I'm not sure that people are aware of how good the environmental record is in northern BC and Newfoundland, in Saskatchewan, in Alberta, where a lot of the oil and natural gas in the country is produced. vis-a-vis, say, Nigeria or Russia. So, and there were security implications as well that you hinted at. So I think part of it is simply getting past a lot of the noise or a determined minority, which is quite loud and often covered in the media. I thought the Montreal Economic Institute poll on Quebec attitudes was exactly right and not surprising. If you have a choice between Saudi oil and Canadian oil, at least theoretically, what would you choose? It doesn't surprise me that a majority of Quebecois, and I would think a majority of the country, would say, yes, let's not kill our own domestic energy sector, given the kind of jobs it provides, not only in Alberta, but in this example, and in our latest fact sheet in Ontario.
One should hope indeed. Folks, you can find this report on the impact of oil and gas on Ontario's economy at CanadianEnergyCentre.ca. Mark Mielke, thanks very much for running through all these facts with us. Much appreciated. Have yourself a great
day. Anytime, Anthony. Thank you.